Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What are the true teachings of Jesus Christ? And why did he give some very difficult ones to understand? Well, we'll look at those today. So let's come to Matthew 5, verse 19. Therefore, whoever shall break one of these least commandments, because remember Jesus said he came not to abolish, but to fulfill or complete the law and the prophets, and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall practice and teach them. Now think about that for a minute. Practice means you do them all the time, regularly. It is a way of life, and that's what Christianity really is, a way of life. It's not a religion over here, and then you have your way of life over here. Okay. No. Your way of life is right here. Coming through the power of God's Spirit and the Word of God and His truth. Remember that. Shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, remember the series that we did on Judaism. That's all traditions of men. They have the framework from the Bible with the Sabbath and the holy days. That's true. They have the Old Testament. That's true. But they reject the New Testament and they reject Jesus Christ. So they throw away more than half of what it means to really be righteous. And they substitute all of their washings and shawls and beating the back and rolling the scrolls of the Torah and kissing it, so forth. Says, if you don't exceed that, there is no way that you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit murder. That's true. Now, the King James says, you shall not kill. That's an incorrect translation. Because those worthy of crimes, worthy of death, should be executed. That's what God says. But whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. But I, Jesus. Now, who was Jesus? Who was Jesus that he could magnify the law and make it holy? The Son of God. And that was his job. God gave that as his mission. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be subject to judgment. And this would be God's judgment. There are some people who are angry all the time. They can never be happy unless they're angry at something. And they're never happy because they're always angry. So it's a tailspin and reasoning in a circle. Now, you have heard it said, whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the judgment of the council. But I say to you, whoever shall say, you fool, and no reason for it, Jesus called the scribes and Pharisees fools because of what they were doing. But if you do this just to belittle a person, and you know nothing about the person, and you have no idea what they're thinking, and you call them a fool, and you judge all people by this, Jesus said, you shall be subject to the fire of Gehenna. That is, unless you repent. See why repentance is so important? And that's why when we first started this series, what did we start out with? Jesus came into Galilee and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was Jesus himself. Now, hold your place here and let's come to John 15. Let's see what we are to do, how we are to treat one another. Jesus says, verse 7, if you dwell in me. Now, what does it mean to dwell in him? That means you have repented, received the Holy Spirit, and you have received God's Spirit so that you now are a begotten son and daughter of God, awaiting the resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. Dwell in me, that is, you live your life in Christ, and my words dwell in you. That's why we are to study the Bible every day. Let the Word of God come into our minds. We're to think on the Word of God, live by the Word of God, do everything that we do based upon what God has instructed us. You shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall come to pass. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Here's what you need to understand that's coming from God. And when we get back to Matthew and are reading some more of those statements, you'll understand them. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Live in my love. Not in hatred, not in judgment, not in all of these things, not in lust of the heart, lust of the mind, all of that, no. Live in the love of God. And how do you live in the love of God? Number one, loving him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Number two, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. That's why I call all Sunday keeping fake Christianity. Are you a fake Christian? Oh, well, I accept these scriptures and that scripture. Do you accept the Sabbath day? Oh, well, I keep Christmas, and do you keep the holy days of God? All your answer backs are of no value at all. Now notice, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. Now that's the thing that's important. That's the relationship we need with God, we need with each other. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you in order that my joy may dwell in you and that your joy may be full. That's what God wants. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, when we come back here to Matthew 5 and read some of these difficult scriptures, then we can understand them. Because Jesus is talking at a plane that shows it must be spiritual. But if you try to do spiritual things just with human reasoning, you will never be able to keep the commandments of God the way that they should be. Now keep that in mind. Come back here to Matthew 5. Now verse 23, for this reason, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, your worship of God at that time with the altars and sacrifices and so forth. And even though they're now gone, you cannot have hostility and grudges and anger and everything in your heart. That's why we started out the last segment about what's in the human heart. And then come to God and think you have favor with God. Notice, leave your gift before the altar, or if you're praying and on your knees, get up off your knees and go settle the issue. Don't come before God and hold that grudge in your heart. And go your way, first be reconciled with your brother or your sister or your father or your mother. And then come and offer your gift. That's a spiritual thing that must be done first. Same way with the next one here. Agree with your adversary quickly. If you've done something wrong and you've been caught, and what are they going to do? They'll run you off to the judge, and if you try and fight the thing and you're completely wrong and deny what you did and everything, then the judge is going to throw you in jail. And he says on that, verse 26, truly I say to you, there is no way you shall come out of there, that is jail, until you have paid the very last coin. And they have an ad about drunk driving. Don't they? They have that, yes. Yes, buzz driving is drunk driving, and if you're caught, you may lose $10,000. Huh.
Look at you. You're at the top of your game. You're unstoppable. Nothing can throw you off track. Wait, is that your car? Uh-oh. Yeah, I saw that coming. That will throw you off track. You're looking at around 10 grand in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Let's try this again. Smart move. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
What's the best remedy? Don't drink and drive. Very simple. Now, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit adultery. Boy, and aren't we living in an adulterous world today?
The day before your birthday last year, he went and had sex with one of his female friends. Mm-hmm. He claimed they were in love, couldn't get home, so he called you up to ask a ride home from the other woman's house. Yep. And you went and picked him up.
I absolutely did. On my birthday, yep. Yep.
What were you thinking?
Well, the heart makes you do dumb things, right? So I did something dumb and I picked him up. And he was drunk anyway, so I wasn't going to leave him stranded.
Yes, you do.
I should have, but I wasn't.
You leave him there. He got his narrow behind over there by himself. He can find his way home by himself. What is it? Mr. Allen, did you do that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you feel at all trifling or low down when you made that phone call?
Your Honor, it wasn't one of my best moments. It was a poor sense of judgment on my behalf. And I can't sit here and say I was, you know, proud of what I did. And I have to live with my transgressions for the rest of my life. But
what? How many transgressions are we talking about?
Twice. Two times. That's
just
it.
Twice?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you sure?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, anyone who says that any sex outside of marriage is sinning against God, you are counted as nothing. You are counted as the lowest thing on earth. But you're speaking the truth, because that's what God intended. Now listen to what Jesus said. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So God is interested in the heart, right? That's why I started out. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Because today, lust after women and after men and men after men and women after women is accepted as normal. Why? Because we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why.
On Wednesday, the multi-generation dynamic got personal once again, this time with Willow's revelation that she's polyamorous.
This has been a journey for you, Miss Willow. How did you make this decision?
With polyamory, I feel like the main foundation is the freedom to be able to create a relationship style that works for you.
The 20-year-old singer opened up about her perspective on polyamory relationships, helping her mom and Gammy understand her desire to have multiple intimate partners at the same time.
So right. I was like, how can I structure the way that I approach relationships with that in mind?
Yeah.
Also, doing research into polyamory, the main reasons why monogamous relationships or why marriage why divorces happen is infidelity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say you haven't always been the kind of person that wanted to have sex all the time, mm-hmm. but your partner is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be the person to say, you know, just because I don't have these needs, you can't have them either?
Right.
Throughout the series, all three women have maintained an open mind with topics about sex, and mom Jada Pinkett Smith's reaction here was no different.
How did you feel when I told you that I was polyamorous?
When you were like, hey, this is my get down, I was like, I totally get it. Wanting to set up your life in a way that you can have what it is that you want. I think anything goes as long as the intentions are clear. You know what I mean?
To everyone. Yeah.
What are your feelings and ideas around marriage as you know it today?
The history of marriage really irks me.
Yeah.
just the history of marriage as a whole and what it has represented over the years for women in particular.
And that's why there's so much trouble in the world. People have rejected God completely. Now, here's the one most people can't understand. So then, if your right eye shall cause you to offend, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is better for you that one of your members should perish than that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. Now, Gehenna is saved for the unrepentant sinner who will not repent. Okay? So what he's saying here is, the only way you're going to overcome it is by coming to God, receiving His Spirit, and keeping His commandments, so that you won't be lusting every time you see a woman or a man. Because physical means to try and get rid of that are of no value. You've got to come to God to repent of it so that you can have it removed. Now, the reason that he shows that just the ordinary way of trying to get rid of it without coming to God and without repentance is worthless, he shows, take out your eye. So what he's saying is, that's how hard it is to overcome spiritual sin. And you can't do it without the Spirit of God. So you've got to come to God and repent. And then you don't have to take out your eye. Now, if he meant it literally, then every man in the world would be blind by gouging out both his eyes. And remember this, you can take out both eyes, you can cut off both arms and both legs, and you can lie in a bed totally blind and lust in your mind and still be sinning because you haven't repented. Verse 30, and if your right hand shall cause you to offend, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is better for you that one of your members should perish than that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. Again, what does this mean? This means if you try to overcome it without repentance to God, you've got to give up your right hand. Well, I think the Muslims do that for thieves, right? But does that stop a thief from lusting and wanting to steal? No, because cutting off the right hand does not solve the problem of sin within the mind. So Jesus is saying, you better pay attention to the sin within, and you can't overcome it by human means and methods without repentance. And so therefore, even if you cut off your right hand or take out your right eye, if you don't repent, doesn't matter. Because all unrepentant sinners will go into the lake of fire. Now, the next section there talks about divorce. Now, we have a booklet, Marriage and Divorce. And today, there are so many problems with marriages and divorces and husbands and wives, and husbands 1, 2, and 3, and wives 1, 2, and 3, and there was one woman who had
11
husbands that was reported on television because she loved the wedding ceremony so much.
My first husband I knew in high school, and I told my sister I was going to marry him one day, and I married him 2 months later. My second husband, we just had a lot of fun together, but we got divorced, and then we thought we could work it out, so I married him again. So husband number 4, he had children, and I loved his children. He had great children. Number 5 was probably one of the loves of my life. Husband number 6, he just seemed just so nice and kind, so I married him, and then I married him again. Dang it, if I wouldn't have married those 2 twice, the number would go way down. Number 8, I met him online, and then 1 week later, we drove to Vegas and got married. Number 9 was a very charismatic guy and just the kind of guy that you shouldn't be attracted to, but sometimes you are. Number 10, I knew in elementary school, he's a very good person, but we should have just stayed friends. Number 11, I'm not even going there with that one. There's nothing to say. So I fall in love, you know, fast. And when I add it all up, I guess I've been proposed to over 28 times.
Now, if that's not perverted thinking, 10. How do you sort out who belongs to whom? See? Well, I wouldn't want to try and sort that out. Now, let's come to the next one. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not forswear yourself, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you do not have the power to make one hair white or black. It is what is in your heart that counts. But let your word be good, your yes be yes, and your no be no, for anything that is added to that is from the evil one. And who is the evil one? Satan, the devil. And he's the father of lies. Now, you think about that in relationship to your family. You think about that in relationship to what you do. And if you're a Sunday keeper and Christmas keeper, Easter keeper, and all of this sort of thing, that's something you got to repent of and cease doing. And if you want God in your life, you've got to live God's way. You can't come to God and say, oh, God, bless me, I'm a good person. Really. What's the solution? You want God to love you? Love him. How do you love him? Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Follow his word. Live by every word of God. That's how you do it. Let's come down here to verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And pray for them what? That they may change, that they may overcome. Now then, if the enemy is really, really bad, you can pray, oh Lord God, I am praying for my enemy, that you keep them far from me. And another prayer you can have, that the enemy will come to repentance and believe in Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, the persecutor of the church and killer of brethren. Now, his conversion, you can read that in Acts 9. That was quite startling. Now, here's why God wants you to do it. So that you yourselves may be the children of your Father. Now, if you're living in the world and you're out here and you do none of these things, then you are a child of Satan the devil. Oh, I'm not a child of Satan the devil. Well, if you do everything that he wants you to do in fake Christianity, you are the children of the devil. And if he's deceived the whole world, which he's deceived the whole world, and you're part of the world, and you have nothing to do with God, you are the children of the devil. Now, you may not be dedicated to horrible, evil things like those really dedicated to Satan are, but you're still against God. So that you may be the children of your Father who's in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you have any reward from God? Do not tax collectors practice the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, what have you done that is extraordinary? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? Therefore, now, here's the verse which explains everything in chapter 5 and 6 and 7, right here. Let's read it. Therefore, you shall be perfect. That's something you work at and you develop. But you must be converted. You must repent and be baptized. You must receive the Holy Spirit of God and walk in God's way as a way of life, awaiting the return of Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? And think about that. That also states the overall goal of God's plan and God's work. It's an amazing thing indeed. So now you see why it's important to put all the scriptures together to understand why Jesus is saying it, what he is saying, and the ultimate purpose of it, and all of this comes down to verse 48. Let me read it again. Therefore, you shall be perfect even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. That's the goal of restoring original Christianity for today. So once again, thank you for inviting me in to your home. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.